So I'm going to start off by defining a matrix Schubert variety. Everything here only works in type A, mainly because that's the only time when the Lie algebra or the Lie group embeds into Lie algebra. If you remember, we had that a Schubert variety was just, let's say, a closure of a B orbit in GLN mod B. And since we can embed GLM in MNK, we're going to try and pull that back. This is just n by n matrices of our field. And in pulling that back, we really want B cross B orbits. So we're going to define a matrix Schubert variety to be the closure of a B cross B orbit in MNK. And I should say a brief word on how B cross B acts. It's just going to be B1, B2 axons matrix by B1 and B2 inverse, and that's just so that I have. K is some field. If you really want, you can pretend that K is C everywhere. Nothing I'm going to say is ever going to use anything about the field here. But obviously, if you wanted to do more, if you wanted to do higher level things like multiplicities and stuff, you'd want algebraically closed, and characteristic zero is probably helpful. So one thing that I've said that's a slight lie here, and it's only a slight lie because of the what people normally study this stuff study. Theoretically, theoretically the orbits in there in GLN mod B really only correspond here to the full rank orbits. But from my point of view, like the all zero matrix is a perfectly valid B cross B orbit. And I'm happy with that. Yes, this is one of two things where my notation is going to differ from what other people said. The other one is that you're going to see some rank tables later that Alex has also given an example of, except for that Alex notation and everyone else, and most of the people who've actually done some stuff on matrix Schubert varieties notation has those rank tables upside down from what I do. And my notation is forced on me by wanting to be consistent with other stuff I do, which I won't be talking about today. But okay. So one thing that I should say a brief word about is why do we care about these things at all? And I mean, other than the fact that, you know, there are varieties lying about, and the point is that we can deduce information about type A Schubert varieties from this, and for instance, the principal example is we can to do things like clone McCauliness. And I should vaguely say something like the obvious reference, which is Alan Knutson and Ezra Miller, Gropner geometry of blah, 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 blah. So I should say a brief word about what do these orbits actually look like. And we'll notice that orbits arise, a line here, split things up. Notice that orbits arise from partial permutation matrices, and what I just mean is a 0-1 matrix with at most 1-1 in each. Row and column. For example, we have something like, let me write on this board, and to help ease confusion, all partial permutation matrices I'm going to write are going to be in orange, mainly because I'm going to have similar looking matrices that aren't going to be in orange, but aren't 0-1. So the example I have is, let me make this bigger. Again, it almost looks like a permutation matrix, but you'd really want to put a 1 here. And I'm happy with that. And this comment is just the generic, use the Borel action to sweep up and sweep to the left. And now instead of having these stars that afloat like here and here and here in the normal picture, normal Schubert-Friday picture, this extra B action here allows you to get rid of them. For ease of notation, if I want to label these, I'm just going to label them. I'm going to give them a word like you would give a normal word of a permutation. And where this is supposed to be a generalization of two-line notation. And I'm just going to do that in sort of the obvious way. I'm going to look in each column and see where the one is and give the corresponding number here. That gives 3 of these things. There's no 1 here, so I'm just going to label that as 0. And this is the right thing because it, for instance, if you want to compute dimension of these things, this is sort of the right statement. Okay. So the original definition of a Schubert variety, or the, one of the reasons we want to study Schubert varieties is while we can think of them as B orbits in GL and mod B, we can also think of them as flags preserving or having a standard intersection with the standard flag. And we're going to have a similar, definition here. We're going to define, these are going to be defined as, or this orbit can be defined as, by conditions of the form dim of EI intersect XJ is less than or equal to some condition, which I don't want to write down because I don't want to figure out how exactly I want to deal with the zero conditions here. And I'm going to be not dealing with this in a second anyways. Okay, so in this case, we're going to be thinking of a matrix like this as X. EI is just going to be the ice component of the standard flag. So it's just going to be the vector space spanned by E1 up through EI. And XJ, well, there's not a flag here, so we can't take the jth component of the standard flag. But there is a matrix, and we can do X acting on EJ, which is going to be X, the space spanned by X times E1, X times E2, X times EJ. And if you think about this for a second, this is just the span of the first J columns of X. I guess if I only want an orbit, I want these to be equal. If I'm taking the closure, I'm going to be including a less than or equal here. That's not quite obvious, but it requires a little bit of thought about the post set, and I'll be saying more. Yeah. Yes, except for that, for instance, I think he assumes that the largest flag is, for instance, full dimensional, and it's I guess you get that if you throw in an extra flag, but then things do weird things if you've got a full rank flag variety and whatever. Okay, like I said, so some number that I'm not going to write down because I'm going to write down a different thing that's slightly better from my point of view that's equivalent to this. And it's the same thing as in the Schubert variety case, except for I don't want to have to figure out what exactly you want to do with zeros here. And you'll see in a sec. And it's something like it's...
Why is it counting northwest ones?
I think it is, in fact, counting northwest ones, but that's... it is, in fact, counting northwest ones, but if you want to write it in terms of this word, then that gets annoying because you want to count numbers that are less than that, but you don't want to count zeros.
Okay,
and
so the thing in that, to the right of left is just number of ones to northwest by J.
Yeah, yes. Yes, and you'll, in fact, see that later. One thing that... Like I said, the one reason I don't like this one is it's actually sort of hard to write down equations for this. And the thing I'm going to write down next, which is essentially equivalent, I guess I should write down one example of this table just to confirm what Alex said. Why don't I make this table green, since it's the only one of its type we'll see. For this one, we're counting, like I said, we're counting ones that are in the square northwest. So, for instance, there's a 1 here. There's a, let's see, there's a 0 here, 1, 1, 1, because in this square there's only 1 of them, 2s, 1, still 2s, and you'll see the first reason why I put it in orange is the green things are different sorts of rank tables than the orange ones. Like I said, I actually prefer the following description, which is we're going to define that instead. Okay. We actually use And this is better because you can write down equations. The following statement: the dim of EMI minus 1 direct sum XJ mod EI minus 1 is less than or equal to. So this, now in this statement, I'm going to explain in a second, it's going to be just counting ones in a southwest corner. And to get that right, that's going to be less than or equal to the set of all WL that are greater than I minus 1 L less than or equal to J. And the corresponding table here, and I've cleverly put this out of my reach. So for instance, you're going to get 0, 0, 0, 0, 0 here, because there are no ones, say, in the corresponding southwest region. 1, 1, 1, 2, so the dimension thing I'm taking the dimension of is, again, EI is, so this is the standard component of the standard flag. This is the column space of the original vector space, and I'm quotienting out by this. And the way that you can see that you can actually make equations out of this is that, well, what is this direct sum? This direct sum, if you... Yeah, it's a sum, not a direct sum. Otherwise, I wouldn't need to take a quotient. If I write down in coordinates, say, x11, x12, if I wrote these things correctly. And what this is saying is that I want the dimension, let's say that I want to do this for, say, I equals 3 and j equals 2, this just says that I take I want the span of these two vectors and j equals 2 these two vectors, and I want to force this dimension to be the dimension of this quotient to be less than or equal to 1. Well, the quotient means that I can ignore these two things, and now I just want this to be a one-dimensional space, which is just a minor. Basically, I'm essentially saying, I'm rederiving sort of how Alex got his rank conditions from the quiver variety point of view, but it's helpful to see where I'm coming from and why, for instance, I have this upside down.
Okay, so you are just computing, just looking at southwest minors.
Yeah.
You're taking the corner ring of a generic matrix and mod the ideal generated by those minors that force those rank conditions.
Yes. One thing to mention is that I've been putting these less than or equals in sort of implicitly on showing that everything's Borel invariant, or on showing that the post set sort of respects this sort of thing. It's easy enough just to see that if you sort of set up a post set of these words based off of these conditions, it's just generated by conditions. This is just going to say, let me say, with these conditions, it's easy to see that the post set defined by just you say that one word is less than another if these this corresponding matrix of ranks is smaller is generated by moves of two types. So I should actually define a post set. If I've got two words, this defines a post set by, we can call this a matrix of the word associated to this. And I just want to say that NW is less than or equal to MW if each component is smaller. So, like, if I have some word, if I, for instance, if I had some other matrix like... Let's say MW prime is less than or equal to MW, and I have two words W and W prime. So this defines a post set structure on the orbits. It's a slight generalization of Bruha order, and except for that, I've also included these partial permutation words in here. And it's generated by moves of two type. One of them is the move that you're all familiar with from Bruha order, which is you just take two letters, and this one, if this one is bigger, then you get bigger by switching them. And the second one is sort of the other obvious one that you might think about putting in here, which is you take a letter WI and you replace it with WI star, where and of course you're limited to only putting in letters here that, you know, actually keep all the non-zero letters distinct. And it's easy enough to show that this shows that for instance, this shows that if something is in the closure, then it can be gotten by one of these relations. And it's easy enough to show that the converse is also true. If you've got a pair of words like this or a pair of words like this, then you can just construct a curve that has general point here and special point here. Okay. How much time have I used? So this is a definition of matrix Schubert varieties, and also this gives a way to associate to any partial permutation matrix a possibly non-reduced ideal. And if you've seen this stuff before, at least for the full-ranked permutation matrices, you know about things like RC graphs, and Alan Knutson and Ezra Miller show that for the permutation matrices, this ideal is in fact reduced, and they give the degree in terms of RC graphs, which I'm only going to mention here because it's not what I'm going to be discussing. So now what we're going to do is we're actually going to generalize this. Among other things, having it be reduced is the starting point to actually be able to prove more useful algebraic properties also. Yeah. It's not that hard to see that it's, say, generically reduced. For instance, it's possible to take Grobner bases of these sorts of things and have them have non-reduced leading terms. That's this whole, if you choose a non-vexillary permutation, take a diagonal term order, and except for that I've probably cleverly switched diagonal and anti-diagonal in my picture, but take a non-vexillary permutation, take a diagonal term order, and it won't, in general, be reduced. So more generally, what we're going to do is, what we're going to deal with is, so these matrices here are relatively special. It's probably proved before them, but probably by Egan and Hoekster, and maybe some of the Frobenius splitting people. I'm certain the Frobenius splitting people have proved it at some point. So. Okay. So the generalization we're going to do with is, one way you can think about it is, we wrote down some non-negative integer matrix, we got out an ideal, And we got out an ideal by playing this game of how many ones are requiring that all of the things in the southwest corner satisfy this rank condition. So the generalization, which is what we're going to be spending most of the rest of the time talking about, the theorem we're going to prove is, well, we're going to take M just to be some random matrix which doesn't have we're going to take some M to be some random matrix that doesn't necessarily come from a permutation matrix, and I'll spend a couple of minutes saying why these sorts of matrices are sort of special, just to make sure that you see that this problem is actually interesting. But we're going to do something like, say, take 3, 1, 4, 5, if you think about it, this matrix is a little ridiculous, and if you want a more reasonable matrix, let's put a 1 in there. If you want a more reasonable matrix, this is a more reasonable matrix. But we're going to try and play the same game of, we've got an n by n matrix. We define, we'll work in the matrix of where we have variables xij corresponding to each coordinate. And we're going to require again that each southwest minor vanishes.
Why is that a generalization of that?
So like I said, these matrices satisfy certain conditions, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But for instance, for M here, we'd just point out we'll find an ideal x33, and then there are a bunch of 2x2 minors that I don't quite want to spend all time writing down. But for instance, you'll get, say, this 2x2 minor, which is x31, yes. Trying to confuse myself. This is x, for instance, this thing gives you x21 times x32 theoretically minus another term, but that vanishes, plus a lot more 2x2 minors. Oh, and at this point, I'm going to remind you, I'm going to try and be consistent with my color coding. This is only going to be the only green matrix. It's also going to be the only matrix that's of this corresponds to EI intersect XJ. All orange matrices will be partial permutation matrices, and all white matrices will be the sort of matrices that you want to take ranks of southwest corners of. So Alex asks, so why is this a generalization? The point is that M coming from permutation matrices, I'll put in full here just because I feel obliged to mention what's special about full permutation matrices, but there's still a condition coming from partial permutation matrices. But M coming from permutation matrices must satisfy certain conditions. Well, so one condition for the full rank ones is there's a boundary condition, which is, well, what Alex said in his previous talk, if M is full rank and M is like this, then you have a boundary condition that says these boundary entries are 1, 2, 3, 4 up to N, and 1, 2, 3 up to N. So, which basically means they say nothing. There's still a condition if not of full rank, which I should put down, which is, in general, if I've got a box and we call this length, let's see, this should be N minus I, and this should be J, then we've got a condition that says that this entry is less than or equal to the min of N minus I, J. And that just says that a matrix can't have rank bigger than either it's the number of columns or the number of rows. Just write this. We have conditions 2 and 3, which are roughly the same condition, but one's a row version of it and one's a column version of it. If I've got some entry M, I, J, and let's see, I've also got some entry make this mij plus 1 and some entry mij, and we look at their difference. So we're starting here and going over 1. Well, we've only added at most one row. The rank can only go up by 1 and it can't go down. So this is between 0 and 1, and there's a similar condition . So neither of these conditions make it seem like this is really that much of a generalization. These are just showing why something like 3 is sort of silly, because like this 3 isn't really going to be doing anything useful, and this 5 is obviously too high also. But for matrices coming from partial permutation matrices, there is one more condition which actually shows this is a generalization, which is what's called a diamond condition, which is if you take pairs of entries here, which is, let's say that one is I, J, minus 1, so the idea is that you add these two and you subtract these two, then you can see in this example that, or if you calculate all the ones in this example, that difference is either going to be 0, say, for instance, here, 1 plus 1 equals 0 plus 2, or the difference is going to be 1, 2 plus 1 minus 2 is 3. And if you're allowing these two conditions, then it's easy to show. And if you're allowing these two conditions, it's easily, so let me just say this is only true for partial permutation matrices. And it can be minus one even if other conditions hold. And let's just see that in this example here, this one plus this one, one plus one minus one, or one plus zero is one, you're subtracting off two, you get minus one. So in this sense, this actually is a generalization because you get more matrices and more ideals that you're going to deal with. And so the answer is going to be that, in fact, part of what I'm going to show is you only need to consider matrices that satisfy this being minus one. And if it's the point is that the other three conditions are actually sort of reasonable conditions, even if you didn't have partial permutation matrices. They're forced just because minors have to act that way. The rank conditions have to go up by one, can only go up by one or zero if you add a row. And so, in some sense, part of what we're going to do is reduce to matrices that satisfy these first three conditions, and we're going to show that all of those ideals are reduced. So why don't I write down the theorem that I'm going to be spending most of the rest of the time proving, which is for any matrix M I sub n obtained by setting all, let's say, southwest minors equal to zero as determined by M are reduced. This is mine, yes. So one thing that I should say about the theorem, the idea of the proof of the theorem is, and I'll warn you that this is a bad, bad theorem in the sense that the proof is inductive and doesn't give any feel for like what components are or what degree is or even really what the dimension of these things are. Okay. So for instance, This ideal is, the way M is defined, since you can think of it in terms of this rank of this quotient, it's B cross B invariant, which means it's some union of of irreducible matrix Schubert varieties. Some of those are components. I can't tell you what one is without, I can tell you very little about what components look like. And that seems to just be a fairly hard question. Okay. So the proof idea is what's called principal radical systems, and I should give credit where credit is due. This is Egan and Hoxter. I want to say the year's 1976. This is part of, they used it to prove that determinantal loci are reduced, which was, or the equations defining determinantal varieties are reduced, which is a start, in, which they needed as a start for proving that they were Cohen-Macaulay. Before I write this down, just in case you don't remember, I'll remind you that a colon A colon B is just going to be the set of all X such that if you have two ideals A and B, it's the set of all X such that X times B is contained in A, and this is actually an ideal. Say, so the statement of the theorem is, suppose we have a ring R, and a finite post set theta, and suppose for each lamp, for each element of our post set, we have an ideal I lambda. And we want to do this in such a way that if I've got smaller element of the post set, I want that to be consistent with the ideals. And I'm going to say that this way. And for all of these ideals, we're going to let J lambda be the radical of I lambda, which is the set of all functions that vanish at point, in all points of the variety defined by I lambda. Alternatively, it's the set of all functions, some power of which is contained in I lambda. And we'll discard. And suppose that for all elements of our post set, either one of three conditions holds. One, we might get lucky and our ideal is reduced. Two, there exists some element X in our ring and some mu less than lambda such that radical is that x lambda colon j lambda equals itself. This is just a geometric fact that says that this hyperplane defined by x doesn't vanish on any of the irreducible components of this variety, of the corresponding variety. And I need to put in some more conditions, and I need to put in a technical condition, which is that, okay, no, first thing I need to put in is that I lambda plus x equals mu, and, sure. I'm going to be dropping the lambdas on the x's everywhere, but I'm putting them there just because we're going to, it's convenient. And if I mu colon j mu plus x lambda equals r, then, wait, these should be lambdas. I lambda equals j lambda. Basically, let me write down the third condition and the conclusion, and so the condition in part two is, so either you're reduced or there exists a ring element and there exists a smaller element in the Poe set such that this thing is true, this thing is true, and this complicated technical thing is true. And I'll be giving a quick geometric explanation of what this actually means rather than actually proving this. The third condition is going to be that, or you can have that there exists x lambda in R, and now you get two things. Such that the first thing looks familiar. It's that it's this condition again, and the second one is a condition on the colon, which is that I nu is contained in I lambda colon x lambda, and j lambda colon x lambda is contained in j nu. And then I've left myself just enough room after having written down all the conditions. To not leave myself room for the conclusion. Conclusion for all lambda and theta, I lambda is reduced. And since a proof is complicated in algebra and somewhat unenlightening, probably what's easy to see is, well, what would go wrong if you had something that's not reduced? If you had something, and to see sort of what the geometric intuition is. Well, if you have something that's not reduced, you're certainly not in case one. In case two, what's happening is you've got some fuzziness here, which is the non-reduced locus. And what x lambda is doing is it says you're taking a hyperplane section. By assumption, you're taking something that's generically not zero, so it actually... we'll take I lambda here. You're taking x is something that's generically non-zero, so it looks like this. And So my picture is a little bit sketchy because it may be the case that X doesn't pass through the fuzzy stuff. But so the idea is now that this intersection is supposed to correspond to IMU. And this technical condition here is basically saying exactly that if X doesn't pass through the fuzzy stuff, which is saying that the corresponding ideal you get is the entire ring, then, well, you were reduced to start with. One thing to worry about, to notice, is that in our case, we've got homogeneous ideals, and we're always going to actually be taking X to be something homogeneous, so this technical condition never actually shows up. And in every application that I've ever seen, some comment to that form always takes place. So if you've got something that's not reduced, condition 2 says if you do something like this, you're still going to get something that's not reduced. And condition 3 is basically just saying, well, you have something like this or something like this, and you've got some fuzzy stuff where you're supposed to be thinking of this whole thing as being I lambda. And what it's saying is that either, well, X may contain one of your pieces, but the point is that one of these condition, this condition is saying that sort of the complement is saying that this piece contained in here can't have any of this fuzzy stuff, and this one is saying that sort of the complement, the place where this is non-zero, can't have any of the fuzzy stuff either. As you continue down the post set. So the point is that here you've got only one, you theoretically only have one piece. The I lambda, the variety corresponding to the, or the scheme corresponding to this ideal. Yeah. And the point is that, like, the part that this line is going over should be I lambda plus X, and this part should be I lambda colon X. And since I've very cleverly given myself, like, 1 minute remaining, I think I'm going to skim over sort of how one goes about applying this relatively quickly. So basically there's two parts to it. One is, well, constructing this element X lambda that you want in your post set. And the other one is, well, okay, there's three steps. One step is that is this comment that I've made that you only need to consider ideals that satisfy this condition, and this condition, these three conditions. You can do it ad hoc if you want, just by taking your favorite position in the matrix and reducing it down. There's also a direct way to do it in one step, which is if you have some matrix M, then there's a corresponding reduced matrix, which I'll call red M, which is going to be the minimum of basically N squared plus 1 matrices. One of them is corresponding to this condition 1, this box condition, which says that these are all less than 1, these are all less than 2, 3, 4, so on. And the second part of it is, the second thing that you'd be taking the minimum of are conditions of the form for each entry mij. Well, you just, this is supposed to be position j and I in the matrix. Well, you just write down the matrix that's forced by these other two conditions. So in this square, you write down, you just write down mij everywhere. So, for instance, if this was 3, you'd write a bunch of 3s in here. And as you go up, you write mij plus 1, So a bunch of fours here. Five. And you continue onward. And the point is that this matrix actually, it's quick to see that this matrix has the same ideal as the original matrix you started with, just because any condition that's in this matrix is just turns out to be implied by, it comes from one of these matrices in the minimum, choose the particular one, that condition comes from a condition in your ideal, and that shows one inclusion, the other inclusion is the is this trivial relation on matrices, or this trivial thing that if that there's sort of this poset structure on rank condition on matrices given by looking coordinate-wise on the rank conditions. Okay, so this comment says that we only need to look at matrices of the first three types. Shouldn't erase that, I shouldn't erase that. I should erase the theorem because I've already stated it. So the second thing you need to do is you need to be able to, for any reduced matrix like this, let's see. The second thing that I should mention is a really brief comment that says that if you've got two reduced matrices and they're different, they're actually different. This is just a comment that if you've got a matrix that satisfies these first three conditions, there's actually some submatrix, there's some matrix that satisfies all these conditions, or that's less than or equal to all these ranks and satisfies a particular rank condition. The point is that if I have some condition Mij here, then I can just construct the matrix that's that copy of the identity matrix with this Mij in the upper corner and sort of zeros everywhere else. And it's easy to see that this matrix satisfies this rank condition. The reducedness shows that this matrix satisfies, or this matrix gets exactly this rank condition, and the reducedness conditions show that sort of every other condition is satisfied. So this poset actually is, you know, the poset that you would expect it to be. Things are smaller than each other, if and only if they're smaller than each other. So the base case is just going to be the unique minimal element, which is going to be this matrix. The corresponding ideal is all variables vanish, that's reduced. I need to tell you how to get X's. The point is that if you've got, if your matrix looks like zeros down here, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, and by force, they're ones here. We're going to take this variable, xij, to be the thing we're modding out by. And it's easy to see that modding out by this is fairly simple. If we set xij equal to 0, all of these variables in here vanish. So to require this matrix to have rank 0, we just need to require this matrix to vanish. So it's just 0, that. Let's put this here, let's put a square here. And the point is that by setting this variable equal to 0, this 1 becomes 0. We may have to apply this, we may have to apply, I've made the construction disappear. Okay. We may have to apply the construction to replace this with a reduced matrix, but nothing bad happens. And then the final thing is we need to have some condition for calculating, for being able to say something about this colon. which really means we need some statement about when if I've got this situation, when this variable doesn't vanish, which is equivalent to saying sort of when do all Borel orbits not vanish. And it turns out it's the condition here is really nice. It's just going to be that if I've got ever see an entry, if I ever see a rank here in the J minus first column, and I look in the same row and I go over one, it should go up by one. It's easy to show that that satisfies this condition. That's just noticing that the corresponding determinant expansion of some rank matrix here that involves this row has a copy of Xij in it. The other part of it is a little bit more difficult, but the basic idea is that the condition that this thing is generically non-zero is that sort of any maximal Borel or any maximal matrix Schubert variety should look like, should have a 1 here. And the point is that with this condition, it's easy enough to just sort of push the 1s up here. Because you either, if it's not that case, you either see something like this with no ones here, and you can switch these ones, or there's no one at all, and you can just push this down. But at this point, and the point is that this is enough to check the colon, and similarly, this actually shows that it has the colon, and that's all the details for showing that things are reduced. Okay.